Kia ora and welcome to Worker's Voice. Spend the next hour with us as we discuss the tribulations and triumphs of building workers' rights and increasing fairness in the workplace. This show is produced by Unite Union. Good afternoon. You are listening to Worker's Voice, and yes, it is written and produced by Unite Union. My name is Shanna. You may have heard me before, and I'm joined today by Shirley. Hello, Shirley.
Hi, Shanna. How's things?
Oh, things are pretty good so far, apart from the 3 hours sleep that I had. What about you?
Things are great, apart from all the wonderful work that we have to do on a daily basis.
I know, right? It's busy. It's really, really busy in our office at the moment. We're all slightly overwhelmed. But we'll be okay. We always are, aren't we?
We always will.
Yeah. And Shirley, you are also a union member and a member of our executive at Unite, yes?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yep. How long have you been on exec?
This is actually my second and last year serving on the exec.
Your last year.
My last year.
Because you work for us now.
Yes.
Which is awesome, actually.
Can't be an organiser and on the exec.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Best thing, I reckon, is when, you know, union members end up moving up through the rank and file and actually becoming union leadership. Yeah, officials and then the official leadership. So it's really, really awesome to have you around.
Thank you very much.
Also, you bring me lollies sometimes. So
I'll try to bring lollies more often in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so it's been quite a long time since I've actually done this show. We've been really lucky. We've got a few people on rotation that have been coming in and having a chat. So I was doing a little bit of research and looking through everything that's been happening in the news with unions and stuff, because it seems like there is heaps going on, and there is heaps going on, which is really, really awesome. So I thought we'd go through a few of the sort of what I thought were like really interesting things that are happening in the union movement at the moment, with lots of unions, not just us. You know, we do a lot of stuff and we're pretty sort of loud and pretty
vocal.
We
make a lot of the noises around.
We make a lot of noises for a little union, but there's a lot going on actually with other unions as well. So I thought we might go through that stuff. One of the huge things that has happened this year has been the equal pay case, which is awesome for rest home workers and support workers, which is really
some of the most disgusting jobs.
Yeah, the hardest, looking after our vulnerable people, which is just amazing. You know, like, it's life changing for people. And what I thought was really cool is I saw this come out this morning, and it's a press release from the PSA, and so that's the Public Service Association. They look after everyone that, you know, works for the government, that kind of thing. And they say that today the PSA and ETU union have lodged an equal pay claim on behalf of mental health support workers.
Wow, though.
So that's really, really good news. Not that surprising, I think, because now that one group of workers is one, hopefully all unions are looking at their workers and looking at applying that same sort of logic to whoever they can in their union, and then running a case on it. But that's really great, because mental health support workers work one of the most thankless jobs, under-resourced, and we all know it's been in the news a lot lately, about the mental health sort of budget, and it's a sort of a hot topic for the election coming up this year. So that's really, really amazing that they're doing that, which is awesome. And I'm hoping I'm going to see lots of other unions coming with their cases for their workers as well. It's funny because it took a couple of years, didn't it, for this equal pay case to run?
10 years, is it? It's something ridiculous.
I don't know how long
I think
it was,
started in the 2000s.
Felt like a really, really long time. And it just shows you that sometimes it's really frustrating, you know, when you are a worker and you are running a case, and, you know, the woman, Christine Bartlett, was it, I think? From
ETU?
From ETU. So she stuck in there for years and years and years while they ran this case. And although you have a lot of confidence and belief in yourself and belief in your union, sometimes that just drags on, you know. Like, I know our old boss, Matt McCardin, always says, anything that drags on becomes a drag, which he's so right about, because, you know, it must have been really hard some days to hang in there. And I'm sure that there were probably a few negative Nancys around going, oh, what are you doing that for? But eventually it paid off and changed, you know, hundreds of people's lives. And hopefully hundreds more, thousands even, will follow.
This is actually quite a good predecessor for a lot of future cases as well, because, you know, once you crack one major, something major like the equal pay with healthcare workers, there are other sectors that historically are woman-based jobs.
Totally.
And, you know, we can see within in our union there are certain departments, certain sites that we cover are traditionally worked by women, and they're still some of the lowest paying jobs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can see how it's going to be an improvement in jobs like housekeeping.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's lots of options, but it's funny as well because I remember seeing a lot of, and I, like, this is stupid because I shouldn't have, but you read the comments on the news articles and stuff, and there's a bunch of, you know,
trolls.
Usually men under their bridges. Saying, oh, there's no such thing as equal pay problem, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they lost and the workers won. And hopefully there's a whole bunch more workers to follow, which is real awesome. So,
shame on those trolls. In 2017. And hasn't it been just over 100 years since women got the right to vote?
Don't ask me to do math. Look, I'm a union organiser, okay? I'm not a mathematician.
Yeah, I think this is, well, I think the equal pay is actually a really big step for women movement, even across the world. I mean, for a very long time we fought to be able to vote. For a very long time we fought to be able to work, like, in jobs, certain jobs, and now we're fighting for pay. That's why are we getting paid different because we're women and we do work more difficult jobs than men in certain ways.
And it's so wonderful that we can celebrate this victory for this group of workers, but how annoying that we even have to do it.
Exactly. This should have been solved about 100 years ago.
I know. So the trolls are pretty quiet now, I've noticed, on the equal pay sort of topic, but there are a few people having a bit of a whinge about budgets and, oh, it's going to cost too much money to pay these people fairly, and it's going to pay them too much, you know, cost too much to pay them what they're legally entitled to, and all these kinds of stupid arguments. What I'd say to that is we have a bunch of massive, massive companies, like multinational companies in this country that aren't paying any tax. Mm. For example, it was revealed about a week ago, I think, that Burger King didn't pay any tax last year.
Ooh.
At all, nothing. And I'm pretty sure if you looked at their competitors, it's probably a similar.
It's not like their prices have gone down in the last couple of years either.
Yeah, exactly. People haven't stopped eating burgers and chips. So, you know, you can have a bit of a whinge about budgets and we can't afford to pay people properly, but you know, how about you spend that time whinging about those companies who aren't paying any tax? Hello, Apple.
Guilty for being Apple users around the office.
Well, they're all same, aren't they? Yeah. Dodgy.
Just have to say about the rest homes, especially rest homes is quite close to half for me, because my mum worked as a rest home caregiver for about 6 years. And when she started, I think they were only about $12 something, which was the minimum wage back then. And looking at that job and what she had to do at her job, and I just have to say it's the most difficult and disgusting job. However, when employers complain, because a lot of the rest homes now are privately owned, they're no longer owned by the government,
so they get funding. Aren't they?
They get funding from the government, and I know that, I don't know the exact amount, but for per seniors that get sent to the rest home, it's about $1,300 a week per resident.
Wow.
So when you have a rest home that has 60 workers or 60 residents, that's a lot of money going into the rest homes.
Yeah.
So for these employers to complain that we don't have the money to hire more staff or pay the staff that we have decent wages, I don't believe that. Based on, you know, basic calculation of how much it costs, because you can see the food that they the services that provide for these seniors are not the best quality.
Yeah.
So where are, my question is to these employers, where are the money? Where's the money?
Yeah, in their pocket. Because they're running them as private businesses, aren't they?
Exactly.
Which is so sad too, because rest home workers and stuff, they really care about the people that they look after.
Well, you have to care for the people if you want to do that job.
You wouldn't do it. But it's really upsetting for a lot of them. you know, like your mum, if you want to provide a certain standard of care but you can't because there's not enough workers and, you know, or the quality of the resourcing that you have to provide that care isn't, you know, just isn't great. I mean, I've had, you know, grandparents that have had home help and also been in aged care facilities, and the workers are amazing. You know, they're angels, actually. And the old people love them as well, you know. Like, my nana would have her Christmas present for her home support person ready, you know, because they become sort of like extended
part of your
family.
Life.
Yeah.
When you spend that much time, what, 8-10 hours a day with these people, they really become family. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they definitely deserve better, and I'm so excited for them.
Cause, yeah, woohoo.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome.
I think that's one of the biggest one of the decade, don't you think?
Oh, that's
for women,
amazing.
Definitely.
It's so great. I'm really, really stoked for those workers, and well done to Christine Bartlett and you know, the other workers that stuck in there for
a very long time.
What did seem like many years, actually, to get to that point. I'm sure there are other cases, like I know we have some cases and other unions will be working on things as well that will take, you know, a year, 2 years, sometimes even longer. And it is really hard when you have to hang in there and you don't know what's going to happen at the end, whether it's going to go your way or not. But it's worth it if you stick with
it's
it.
It's even harder with, you know, if you have workers who's helping you with the case.
Yeah.
Especially if cases drag on for a very long time.
Yeah,
you kind of worry that, oh, will this worker stay with us till the end and fight till the end?
Yeah.
It's always a worry.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because you put all that resource and work into it and then they might disappear. But you do your best to filter those, but people get tired, yeah. But then you get people who don't get tired and they become heroes.
Mm.
So it's pretty awesome. Let's go to our first track for today. This one is by the New Harmony Sisterhood Band. This one's called Union Maid.
There once was a union maid who never was afraid of the goons and the gates and the company fakes and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when the meeting it was called, and when those company boys came round, she always stood her ground. Thank you.
That was Union Made by New Harmony Sisterhood Band. Hope you enjoyed that one. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio, so I just wanted to pick some of my favourites, my personal favourites. And so you're here with Shanna and Shirley from Unite Union, and we've just been updating you on what's happened with the latest on the equal pay case with mental health care and support workers lodging a claim, which is awesome. And there's some other stuff, you know, there's been quite a lot of union news lately, which is really, really cool. Unions are, I think,
fighting back, growing stronger.
Exactly, yeah, like, and really consciously working on being more visible to the public and, you know, into their workers and getting out there in the community and stuff. So on that note, something I thought was quite cool, actually, is that I was reading about gender-neutral uniforms, which is something that I personally am quite keen on. I used to get in trouble at my high school for... We had these skirts. We had these navy blue skirts, which were hideous, as you can imagine. And they wanted them to be this really weird three-quarter length. Something about when you kneel, they have to touch the floor. You know, one of those crazy rules.
And this was a religious school you went to?
It was. Yes, it was. Good guess. How'd you guess that? But, yeah, it was really weird because... I'm nearly 6 foot tall, and we had to have these skirts a certain length, which was just impossible for me.
Well, you could just take one of my full length skirts, Shanna.
it would be a mini on me, surely. I'm like twice your height. But it was so annoying, and so what I ended up doing is getting the biggest skirt I could find, which was like obviously huge around my waist, but it was really, really long. I didn't end up hemming it because I just thought it was so stupid, and I can't sew anyway, and neither can my mum really. So I had this really big, long, baggy, weird sheet, I guess, that I wore for like the last 2 years of my school. But also just because I thought it was weird, like, what is the point of having a three-quarter length? Like, you don't want us to show some leg, but you want us to show a little? Why?
You don't want to get your skirts dirty when you're tramping through the mud.
I wasn't tramping through the mud. This is private school, Shirley. There's no mud, apart from in the horse yard, where our equestrian centre was.
Wow.
I wasn't going to with my non-horse. I suppose the horsey girls might have had a problem. But, yeah, I just thought it was stupid, and I always thought, why can't I wear pants, you know? But I just thought, well, the closest I can get is this really big long huge baggy skirt.
I have to agree with you on that as well, because I also went to a private school. Yeah. And we had to wear
we feel the pain. That struggle was real.
That was real struggle. And for the first few years, because I started intermediate there as well, we had little tartan skirts, because the school I went to was Scottish Heritage, and little tartan skirt, and it was be absolutely freezing in winters. We're expected to wear tights.
Yeah.
Like, it had to be knee-high socks or above the knee-high socks. Yep. Or black tights. And when we got to senior school, we were given these pencil skirts. Now, when you're a 16-year-old girl's curve starts coming in, and these pencil skirts are the most restricting thing to ever wear. Now, we had a short version and a long version. And my long version is actually someone's short version, but anyway.
Yep. I guess that.
But even that, I mean, it was horrible because we would be freezing and all the kids would get sick in the winter, and why couldn't we just wear pants? I mean, boys were allowed to wear pants with woolen socks.
Well, see, this is the other crazy thing, right? My brother went to a similarly fancy school, but for boys, obviously, and they weren't allowed to wear pants. You had to be seventh form to wear long trousers all the other years, so right from intermediate through secondary school until they got seventh form, had to wear these tiny little short shorts, which is so funny. And my brother
were they allowed to wear socks?
Yes, they had to
wear woolen socks with garters.
I don't know if they had garters. I didn't get that far. But I wasn't at his school, so I can't remember. But I do remember they had these little shorts, you know. And my brother was also very tall, and it was just ridiculous and freezing.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. I mean, like, that's uniform-wise. Let's face it, no kids who goes to school actually enjoy uniform, whether it's school, work, yeah, whatever it is.
It's supposed to be practical, but it's not practical at all.
Well, at the same time, because kids run around outside, it also should keep them warm so yeah, they won't get sick so much in winter.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. And as a Chinese person, we always say, you know, keep yourself covered in winter because it will come back and bite you when you get older. I mean, you get sore knees, yeah, you know, hurt, painful joints once you get older. It will come back and get you once you're older.
Seems reasonably common sense, eh?
You'll think, but...
Yeah. I mean, you might be wondering what on earth this has to do with unions, but it does actually have something to do with unions. What I really liked was that the PPTA, which is the Secondary School Teachers Union, they actually have come out... In support of gender-neutral uniforms, quite vocally saying that students should get a choice in what they wear, which is really, I think, really, really awesome. I know that some people might think that's slightly outside of their scope of responsibility, but actually I think when you are part of a union, I think you actually do need to be looking at things in society and going a little bit further than just what can I do for my union member today. You know, like, I think you do actually have to look at things as a whole. So I really liked that, actually. Like, they were saying, they said that strictly gendered uniforms reinforced gender stereotypes and perpetuated norms of a gender binary, a society in which girls ought to be feminine and that boys ought to be masculine. From a practical stance, some girls find skirts and dresses to be restrictive, which is exactly what you were talking about, Shirley, limiting the types of activities they do before school, during break times and after school. From bike riding to sporting activities, feminised uniform options often disadvantage girls. So that's coming from the PPTA. And I completely agree, and I would know, because I was a girl once.
Really?
A while ago. Not for some time. But, yeah, but I also actually think they're completely impractical for boys as well. And obviously if you find yourself somewhere along that binary, you may choose to wear something that is not necessarily in line with what your school thinks.
And one thing I had to add is it came from a distant memory, because I went to also a Christian school, Presbyterian. Yeah. I'm sure that's the same thing, but... Yeah. They were very strict on other religions. You kind of can't be in another religion,
really?
Group, because you kind of have to be Presbyterians or somewhere along the lines. And I remember years ago we had those, I'm sure she's Muslim?
Yeah.
Religion, where she had to cover her body. Yeah. Now, yeah, she weren't allowed a hair cover, because we girls had to have either short hair or pigtails.
Pigtails.
Ponytails, sorry. Okay. Ponytails.
Pigtails are like a step way too far for me.
Sorry, I was special, I had a bun, but anyway. And she had to wear, even in the summer uniform, because we had we actually looked like the Von Trapp children in our middle school uniform.
Yes, you definitely look like your last name is Von Trapp.
Anyway.
You look like it.
And I think for religious purpose, she wasn't allowed to wear the short skirts without covering her legs long sleeve. And the school I think they allowed it for one term, and they just wouldn't allow that. I think she ended up leaving the school, and I remember she was on a scholarship.
Oh, nice.
She was a few years younger than me. I was a senior at the time, and just looking at that, even if she didn't get judged by the school, she was still getting bullied by the peers around, because she looked different.
Yeah.
She had to wear, for religious purpose, long black tights throughout summer.
Yeah.
And that's actually quite unfair, especially in a modern world, and that's really good what the tertiary education union is
doing.
Yeah,
well, if everyone has options, then everyone has options, and you wear what you feel comfortable with, and you're not going to stick out, are you?
No, I mean, it's don't get me wrong, we all look wonderful in our uniforms, but it's actually in a modern...
I didn't.
You're like a 6-foot giant.
Yeah, so, I really do. But anyway, thanks, Shirley.
You're welcome. But, you know, just in a modern world, in a modern society, especially in New Zealand, with the amount of diversity we have, even in a school level, so for someone who spent 7 years of their childhood, in a way, stuck in one school, I wasn't exposed to the diversity that's actually around me. And I think you know, during your teenage years, but like the teen years, it's very important to be exposed to the diversity around. I mean, I'm a migrant myself, so I kind of know the migrant side a little bit.
Yeah.
But there are other religions. It wasn't until I started work that I realized there are countries like Lebanese people or some other Ethiopia that's actually a country, which I didn't actually know that until I hit the real world. And I think it's, you know, kids, they should be exposed to all the other cultures and religions. And
you don't have to make everyone the same. We don't need to assimilate, you know. We can be inclusive and we can be different and also appreciate our similarities. There is one school that has done away with putting labels on their sort of putting gendered labels on their clothing items, which is pretty cool. So it's Dunedin North Intermediate. They deserve a shout out. Their principal said, her name's Heidi Hayward. She said the changes come after incoming female students in late 2015 asked why they would have to wear the traditional skirt, and she couldn't think of a good reason. And I'm like, wow, that must be like the only like time someone's come up with something sensible when it comes to uniform. You know, when your kids come to you and they say, actually, why do I have to do that? And the principal says, yes, you're right, quite right. So she's taken off all the labels and they just have skirts, they have culottes, they have trousers, they have shorts, and you wear whatever you want to wear, whatever you're comfortable in, which I just think is what everyone should be doing. So that's awesome. Now, I should also note that as well as gender neutral uniforms, PPTA is supporting the idea of individual toilets and showers just to keep students safe, including those who are gender diverse, so that they don't sort of experience bullying, but they still, you know, they still have the privacy and the safety that they need, which sounds like a really good idea as well. It is a little bit sad that we still have to have these arguments with schools. Like, a lot of schools aren't supportive of it. There are a few that I can think of that are, and I suppose that as time goes by, they'll be more supportive. But I think especially when you've got these schools that are traditionally known as boys' schools or girls' schools, mm-hmm. they find it very difficult to get their head around the fact that some of their students may not actually identify with their gender. But it's 2017, so time to get over it.
I think with bathrooms and stuff, at my old work site, we had a few cases where we ran for transgender workers who are going through the transition. And they found it, you know, they were getting bullied by workers.
Yeah.
By going into the sex they identify with as bathroom. Sure. Which, to be honest, it's someone who's who's a woman, a straight woman, always been a woman. I don't see what the problem is. I mean, a person can chooses to use the bathroom regardless what bathroom it is.
Doesn't bother me.
If I walk into a men's bathroom because the woman's one was full, I don't see why I should be judged.
Mm.
And I can assure you that I don't get judged. People would just go, oh, the woman's bathroom was full.
Mm.
So why are the transgenders being judged by going into the bathroom they associate with? I mean, I think that idea we need to abolish, that idea
as
a whole.
Just ignorance and fear, you know. It's sad. Yeah, it is. It's sad.
It's 21st
century. I think it's really cool.
And,
like, I really like seeing unions come out on these sorts of issues and taking a stand and being really vocal and being really clear with their ideas on stuff, because I think in the past maybe we've been a little bit quiet, a little bit afraid. Too afraid what our members will think, too afraid what the public will think, oh, maybe they won't like us. But we're not political parties.
No, we're
separate. We're not desperate for votes, okay? You know? So I do want to commend PPTA for coming out on that, because I think it's a really good move. And I have seen, do tend to sort of to do that and take a stance on things, even if it may be unpopular with, like, Joe Bloggs. We don't care what Joe Bloggs thinks, so...
Who's Joe's blog?
Oh, some guy under a bridge.
There we go.
Let's go to a track that I really like, and I just feel like it's apt at the moment. Just with everything, with this massive fire that's happened in this apartment block in London. This one is by Tracy Chapman, and it's called Subsidy.
Say it doesn't exist. No one would like to admit that there is a city underground. people live every day of the waste and decay of the disgust of their fellow man. Here in South Sea, life is hard. We can't receive any government relief. Won't you please give the president my honest regards for disregarding me. There's too much crime in these streets. My sentiments exactly. Government and big business hold the purse strings. When I worked the back ends. I'm at the mercy of the world. Guess I'm lucky to be alive. Here in South Sea, life is hard. We can't receive any government relief. Won't you please give Mr. President my honest regards for this regarding me. They say we're falling through the cracks. Say the system works, but we won't let it help. Guess they never stop to think we might just want handouts. Way to make an honest living, living. This ain't living. Here in South Sea, life is hard. We can't receive any government relief. I'd like to please give the president my honest regards for this regarding me. What did I do to deserve this? And my trust in God. Worked every day of my life, thought I had some guarantees. That's what I thought. Yes, that's what I thought. Here in South City, life is hard. We can't receive any government relief. I'd like to give Mr. President my honest regards for this regarding me. Last night I had another restless sleep, wondering what tomorrow might bring. Last night I dreamed a full blue light was shining down on me. I screamed myself away. Thought I must be dying. Thought I must be dying. This here in South City, life is hard. We can't receive any government relief. I like to give Mr. President my honest regards. Oh, for this regarding me. Disregarding 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 me.
That was Tracy Chapman. I love Tracy Chapman. And that song was called Sub City. Now onto a story that I remember talking about, oh, maybe a year ago. I don't know, a really long time ago, and it's still going. It's this saga between First Union and a couple of Mitre 10 stores. So Mitre 10s, some of them, I don't know if it's all of them, but some of them are definitely franchised. So, excuse me, there's a couple in Dunedin and Mosgiel, and they have been just embroiled in this long saga for 3.5 years with First Union. And basically, their chairman, his name is Martin Dippy, full supporter of naming and shaming. So he's the chairman of Jack's Hardware and Timber, and they have been wrangling over the details of a collective agreement. It's their inaugural agreement, so they've never had a union contract, which is also known as a collective agreement, with a union before. And so 3.5 years later, they're still having arguments about it. It seems like they're just really, really resistant to the idea at all. Basically, Jack's Hardware, also known as Mitre 10 Mega in Dunedin and Mosgiel, was sent back to the negotiating table by the employment court.
Oh, wow.
So it went all the way to the employment court in late 2015. Now you can see what it's taken 3.5 years. And in July last year, agreed most of the stuff with the unions. There's like 14 points that they were discussing that were under discussion. Must have been 14 claims. The outstanding points were that they couldn't agree on were the inclusion of a trial period in the agreement, and how to put a wage clause in there, mm-hmm. Which is not that surprising, really. Like, we find that often employers are really ideological about having a trial period in their agreement, even if it's written really badly and it's not legally enforceable. They want it in there, which is just rubbish, really, because if you do your due diligence and you are careful when you're hiring and recruiting, and you interview people well, and you hire people that have the appropriate skills, then you don't need a trial period. You know, they're going to be fine. Like, you can't, you know, like, if there's something that they're doing wrong in their job, then you just teach them how to do it again. It's not that hard, you know. Like, employers haven't had trial periods for that long, really. They've only had it for, what has it been, like, 5?
When John Key got 7. Elected the first
yeah,
time?
Yeah, exactly. Probably about 7, is it 7 years?
7 or 8 years.
Gosh, this is actually quite a long time. But they never used to have them. They used to have probationary periods, and everyone was fine, and there wasn't a real problem. So why get up in arms about it, you know?
I think, Shanna, I think because most of our contract at Unite, we actually don't have that 90-day trial period.
Yeah.
I think
I would say First is probably the same.
I think there are, I'm not saying all of our contracts don't have it. There's still a few contracts that do, and we had fought the companies that we deal with over these 90-day trials. I think you have more experience dealing with this and some of the, I think it's call centres in the past about the 90-day trials and how they tried to dismiss a worker during that period. Can you give some examples on, what other reasons they use for dismissal?
Oh, I mean, it's usually complete BS, actually. I'm trying to think if we've ever actually had them successfully fire someone on a 90-day.
We did have one. It was kind of an in-between organisers case. And for one of the sites I take care of, she really couldn't do the job.
Yeah.
And it was still, you know, what were you doing when you hired her?
But yeah. Well, and also, 90 days is not a very long time, you know. Like, I'd be looking at whether or not they've actually, like, yeah, have they hired the right person in the first place? Because the employer has to take some responsibility for their behavior.
Definitely.
If they have honestly made a bad judgment call. But even then, you don't need the 90-day trial. You don't need to do that. If someone genuinely can't do the job, there was a process to deal with that, and they could have been there for 9 years or 90 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they've been there 89 days, you know, or like I say, 9 years. There is a process to deal with people if they cannot do their job, if they're not capable, or if they're struggling. You do not need a trial period.
It's a lazy excuse
for employers to get rid of someone.
It's also a good excuse for, you know, I think one I've seen in the past is, we have personality clashes.
Well, that's not a reason.
Well, that's exactly what I said. Yeah. The sad truth is no one gets along with everybody, right? There's always someone that you don't get along with. And again, what were you doing when you hired this person?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been cases someone changed the radio station.
Oh, my goodness. What about eye rolling?
In Wellington, I think, you know, like just ridiculous stuff like that. So it's basically just an excuse for mad employers to be lazy and get rid of people that they don't like. Generally, we don't let employers put them in our collectives, and I would imagine First is pretty strong on that as well. I can think of one or two where it's in there and we've let them keep it in there because it's so badly worded it's not legally enforceable.
It's quite funny when they try to pull it on us and yeah, we have a nice laugh in the office.
That is always fun. I have had one worker, actually, it was at a call centre where they said you're fired under the 90-day, and I said, hang on a minute, they're a union member, there is no 90-day in the contract. That was awkward, so that person got unfired.
Wife reading the contract.
You'd think the HR people would check the contract, but, you know, it's hard sometimes. Yeah, well, hey, that's always a good reason to join the union, though, eh, is if you've got a 90-day in your contract.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I think we need to let people realise, and I didn't realise this myself, is that many years ago, or a few years ago, when you start off in a company, for the first 30 days, you're automatically covered by the collective agreement.
Mm.
Now, I'm not sure when it changed, but when I found out, apparently, now you start off as an IEA.
Yeah.
Unless you choose to join the union, you're not covered, but you don't get that 30-day free trial anymore.
That's right.
So just keep that in mind when
you're going to make a clear decision.
Exactly. And that's a good recruitment tool for us. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Although people, yeah. If you know what a union is and you know there's a union there, you should be joining it anyway.
Oh,
it
definitely.
It doesn't matter who it is. Just get on there because otherwise who's got your back, you know. All right. So let's go to a song by The Roots now. This one's called Don't Say Nothing.
Yeah, that almighty amazing ill, highly contagious, kamikaze sound splash like a from ignition to your body sound class. Hit at a class, magna cum laude beats, bring the beast out me, flavoring foul rowdy, read pipe with deep type disposition, keep on flipping, keep on playing they position, keep making the people listen what I spent, put them out on the limb, got tears, got blood, got sweat, leaking out of the pen, your fake not setting the trend, we never listen to them, it's like trying to take a to win. My home team doing visitors in. You don't trust them. They all standing close to the end. So don't stress them. Now who the type built the last? It's no question. The master, villain in black. With no steps in my sound. Hitting you hard from every direction. Your head and your shoulder. Area, your midsection.
When it's all with the nine, with the net is the blind. With King Khan, nigga down, man. Give it here. And don't say nothing. Chefs, give it here.
Give it here.
And don't say nothing. Say nothing. Check with the blind. Back with the plan. Let the thing. Cut the check. Give it here, give it here. Don't say no, say no. Give it here, and don't say no, say no.
Down, home of the original. Got on the wrong corner, you to get spun backwards. You got the forewarning of rules. Enter at risk of your own manner. Keep it under the mattress. Shorty's running reckless from Philly to Texas. Surprising with willing to do to get a necklace. Some emotions felt better left unexpressed at times. Crime record longer than a guest list, yes. I done seen things you wouldn't believe. Seen people reach levels thought they never achieve. Silhouettes waiting in the wings ready. Thirsty shites who need at least a buck to breathe. Come on, kids, they be out the tax. Most times they be you without the I still be on the grind when it all collapse. And if it's mine, words bond, I'ma take it right back.
When it's all on time, with the nine, with the net, the grind, with King Khan, in the time, man. Give it here, and don't say nothing, just give it here.
Give it here,
don't say nothing. Say the team, check with the blind, don't back with the plan, let the thing, cut the check.
Give it here, don't say nothing, give it here, and don't say nothing.
It ain't nothing like the rush I get in front of the band, on stage with the planet in the palm of my hand, when a brother transformed from anonymous man to the force, cause whoever might have thought I was playing, I'm a flame, some sinister, the cold twist is slang, thicker than big boy, baby, mom, sister, pain, beyond measure, relaxed under pressure, you see the masterpiece, but to me it's unperfected, give it here, get for records, I'm off the handle, cut the check, and yo, it better be as heavy as anvil, next joint coming, all bets is canceled.
black ink. Grand Wizard G Financial. We finna have the whole industry at a standstill. See me put the system on lock like Campbell. So get with them endorsements and car reinforcements. Cause my click coming for a sizable portion.
When the yeah. Sun down with the gun, with the net, the bomb, with King Kong, hit the ground, man. Give it here. And don't say nothing, just give it here. Give it here. Don't say nothing. Say nothing. Check with the blunt, don't clap, pin the pan, let the thing, cut the check. Give it here, don't say no, say no. Give it here, and don't say no, say no, say no.
You're back with Workers' Voice, a song where we just talk about all sorts of things to do with the union movement. Sometimes we might give you a little bit of advice, hopefully it's useful advice, and talk about sort of current events and relevant info. That was The Roots, Don't Say Nothing, and you are listening to Shanna, that's me, and Shirley.
Hi.
That's her. And we've been talking about, like, giving you a bit of an update on what's happening with the union movement all around the country. And I've given some other unions some shout-outs because, you know, why not? I think they're doing good work and that's awesome. But it's time to give ourselves a slight shout-out as well. Got to have a little turn here. Basically, we've been having a crazy year at Unite. We have a lot of contracts up this year.
Pretty much all of our contract
yeah.
expires in some form.
Basically, we're pretty much just working on them all. And what's real awesome is we're actually making some great major headway, changes. Which is so cool. We've done the McDonald's one recently, which is really awesome, and I'll tell you a little bit about that shortly. But you may have seen in the last couple of days in the news that we have got an offer from Restaurant Brands. Now, Restaurant Brands is a company that covers KFC, Starbucks, Pizza Hut, and Carl's Jr. They're sort of like the mega sort of fast food company in New Zealand. And we have been negotiating with them for a few months now, actually. And they were being a little unreasonable, as companies do tend to be sometimes.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So we had to do some industrial action, which was really fun.
First one in 10 years.
First one that we've had to do there for a long time. But it was, yeah, the workers loved it. We had, like, buses of people going around the place. We, like, shut down, you know, heaps
a couple of stores
per around
night.
The country. Yeah. And the workers were just having a great time. And, you know, it's funny because I'm sitting there in bed at night time and I'm getting calls and texts and Facebooks going, can we shut down our store? And I'm like, yep, do you need me? And they're like, no, we're fine. We got signs. We're all good. We'll go. So that was awesome. You know, amazing, like, bunch of workers. And that industrial action really did pay off because we got several better offers after that from Restaurant Brands. It did take a while to sort of like work through the details and stuff, but we now have an offer which our bargaining team is now recommending to our members. It has not been signed off yet. Sometimes the media can get a little bit gung-ho on this stuff and get things a little bit wrong. It has not been signed off yet. It is currently under ratification. So we don't know whether it will be accepted or not, but our bargaining team is recommending that people accept it. And should they accept it, they will get a far superior agreement to what they had before. If they don't accept it, then there will be some valid reasons for that, and we'll just keep working on those particular items until we get those sussed out. But it is, you know, it's looking like it's almost all the way there, potentially all the way there. So we'll know by next week whether that's good to go or not. But yeah, it's pretty cool, pretty good progress. As you can imagine, one of the major things we were discussing was pay.
Mm.
Always pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is you know, very important. But there's also a lot of other things in there that are beneficial to workers. So there's things like the fixed shifts and stuff so that people know when they're going to be working, which we already had a system for that, but it wasn't
an official system.
It wasn't quite working
mm-hmm.
how we needed it to work. But obviously the hours of work law and stuff was quite new and hadn't been tested. And so now that there's been a system in place for a little while, we've been able to suss it out. And there's a load of other stuff in there as well. There's some health and safety things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely a lot of good progress and some hard work in there from our bargaining team.
Well done.
A lot of meetings, you know, a lot of long discussions and late night emails and conference calls. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, we'll definitely update you and we'll put out a press release at the union whether or not that sort of gets signed off or not. But it's definitely almost there. So that's great news.
Took a while.
For all those workers, yeah.
Just on the note of that, the RBL bargaining, I think as a non-fast food organiser, yeah. I think it's a huge win for not just the fast food, but for every other companies that we organise or even other union that organises. Because, you know, some of the major things that pretty much all workplaces is looking that we need improvement on is pay with the amount of, with the increases in housing and living in Auckland, especially and around New Zealand, a decent pay increase is definitely something that workers want. And I know from in 2015, our main goal is to abolish the zero-hour campaign, and having fixed shift is definitely the next step of the zero-hour campaign. So getting that in a very difficult company like RBL, that's a great achievement for us all. And it's a very good, you know, a very good target for us and
absolutely,
for the rest of the places that we're negotiating this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to throw, look, it's a bit complicated, okay, because every role is sort of on a sort of wage grid, and that grid goes up the longer you've been, the more training Definitely. You've done, and depending on what role you've done. But, for example, the average hourly wage for restaurant brand staff is now about $17.17 an hour. Of course, that's a little bit skewed up from the people that are on the higher pay rates. Once workers have completed their basic training, mm-hmm. their initial training, and we're very good at making sure people complete their initial training, their pay will be $16.87 an hour, which when you compare to the minimum wage of $15.75 is
almost a dollar
better. Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we go talk to other employers, it kind of, for me, I always feel that the other employers, they don't want to be worse off than a fast food restaurant, because I think traditionally fast food, you know, fast food side are always known as the lowest paid and the worst work conditions and things like that. And once we go, hang on, look at this, RBL is paying people way above minimum wage, why are you not doing it? Do you want to be worse off than them? I mean, I guess that's a very good...
Yeah. Well,
it's a huge win for us.
It's pretty cool because, I mean, you're right. Like, traditionally it was seen as really low-paid, unskilled work that only sort of school students were, you know, did, and you just fry chips and stuff. It's actually very hard.
I
personally would not want to do it. I've done almost every basic entry-level job there is, and that is one that I just never, you know.
They wouldn't hire me.
They probably wouldn't. You wouldn't reach the chip machine.
Oh, really?
And I wouldn't want to go there, honestly. It's really stressful. Especially these places that do the 24-hour shifts and the drive-throughs, people are rude.
You get
people
a lot of
rude.
Drunk.
You get robbed. You get like beaten up occasionally. It's really, really terrible. You know, it's quite dangerous. And they do have skills. These workers, they're not all, you know, secondary or uni students. Some of these people are parents. You know, like they need to pay their bills like anybody else.
I think people, we need to get it in our head. I think some of us already see this, that what was looked at as kids' job or school jobs or after school jobs are no longer worked by teenagers. Let's take cinema as that example. I have friends who are in their late 20s and their 30s working in the cinemas.
Of course.
It's no longer a summer job for high school kids.
Yeah, it's quite different. And
so they
the responsibility has gone up a lot over the years. It's quite different now.
So they need that decent increase and they need that minimum guarantees just to survive.
Yeah. And so what's really cool is that we've also done, this is done now, this is signed off, the McDonald's agreement. Mm-hmm. So we have a collective agreement now, brand new, fresh off the press, last week I think it was, with McDonald's for our union members, which is great because it's the same as RBL. We have gotten people off that minimum wage rate. Mm-hmm. So now you've got your biggest fast foods in New Zealand, McDonald's and KFC and Carl's Jr., and Pizza Hut, off minimum wage.
Mm.
So anyone who's still on minimum wage is going to start thinking, hey, might as well just go fry some chips, you know.
Exactly.
Which is quite good, though, because that will put pressure on their employers, mm-hmm. all these employers out there who are still paying minimum wage. They're going to have to sort of level up a little, you know.
Especially I can think of a certain area that our union covers that still are still on the minimum wage,
yes,
and there are some of the most dangerous jobs in New Zealand.
Yeah, well, you're right. Let's go into that. I mean, we all know who it is. It's security guards.
Definitely.
You know?
The organiser for security guards not here, but I think he would like us to speak on behalf.
Oh, yes, he would. I used to be the organiser, so I'll
okay,
do it.
Okay, you do it.
It's like, it really grinds my gears, actually. So you have now got... you have got
so
men and women.
Hang on, which security company do we cover at Unite? I think that's the first.
We do First Security and we do Armaguard.
Okay.
Yep. We have a few.
A full of other places. One or two from every now and then.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of like little cowboy companies as well, really dodgy. But we have these men and women who are now at supermarkets and fast food companies and WINS officers protecting the workers mm-hmm. inside, supposedly.
And the rails. And
I don't know how they're supposed to protect them with their minds and their magical powers, I guess. And they are earning far less than the people inside.
They're on minimum wage, aren't they?
Yeah, it's minimum wage work.
And their employers refuse to budge on minimum wage. I mean, we were saying around the office, might as well just get them job in a fast food restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
A lot safer, too.
I would, yeah. Well, you still might get beaten up, but...
But, you know, the odds are slightly less than being
less
a security
often.
Guard.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're a WINS security guard. I mean, you're literally putting your life on the...
It terrifies me. I worry.
Every day.
Yeah, I mean, worry about them all the time. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's quite ridiculous that these people are supposed to somehow...
Protecting us.
They're a warm body in a uniform, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really protection. It's just sort of like... mental
Professor
protection.
X. Have to be
yeah, Professor X sort of stuff. yeah, like, it's quite bizarre to me, and it's funny, but it's not funny because it's terrifying. Yeah, and the people inside are earning much more than them, which is just shameful. So mm-hmm. We definitely need some movement and some action there.
So next time when you walk by a WINS office and you see one of our security guards standing outside, give the man a salute.
Be nice.
And be nice to them.
Please be nice. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. But yeah, that's why I'm really happy about the restaurant brands and McDonald's agreement. Now, we have got Wendy's and Burger King still to do. So that's going to be very interesting.
And
if those companies think they're going to get away with sticking to that minimum wage, they've got another thing coming. So hopefully they've learned a lesson by watching what's happened with
I think, you
McDonald's
know, as public, it's someone who eats a lot of fast food. I've always asked, and it's only when I got involved with Unite that I realised that, you know, I've always knew their pay was bad.
Yeah.
I never expected a fast food worker's pay would be like $20 an hour unless you're a shift supervisor or something like that. But it never got to me that, you know, it was so... No, the company was actually making so much money because I see the prices go up. I mean, it's like, it's what, $16 for a deluxe quarter pack now in KFC, and the workers is getting paid that much per hour. And I'm just saying, you just have to sell one deluxe quarter pack to pay for a worker, and you sell way more than one per hour.
Oh, yes, they do.
So, where's the money?
We know where it is. They made $26 million last year.
And how much tax did they pay?
I haven't actually looked up to see how much restaurant brands pay, but Burger King paid nothing.
How much did Burger King make last year? My double Whoppers was on like, what, $12.70 now?
Yeah. Oh, and you know when those $2 Whopper days or whatever come out and all the workers just like hang their heads and go, no, don't do it to us. It's awful. Yes, so that'll be really interesting to see what happens with Burger King and Wendy's. They like to think of themselves as these small companies, and we can't afford to do what the big boys do. You know, it's really hard. We don't have much money. But I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I don't think any of us who eats fast food buys
no,
that.
No, we don't. So, yeah, they're going to have to up their game this year since their competitors have as well. Otherwise, I think they're just going to lose a bunch of staff, aren't they?
I mean, if we take this to the public, I'm sure public will be outraged.
I think so. The public support during that RBL
that was huge.
Was amazing.
I have to say, a shout out to whoever, I don't know who it was, that post up on the RBL little message and go, just pay your effing workers so I can go get some chicken.
There were about 1,800 comments, I think it was, was it the KFC page by the public.
Yes,
now,
was.
Sometimes these campaigns, you know, sometimes you sort of, you're trying to get the public to do stuff like that. You're trying to get them to boycott and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. We didn't even do any of that.
It helped that the company posted that wonderful message themselves.
I'm glad they came to their senses though, which is, you know, good on them for finally coming to their senses. But it was just, the public support was actually amazing. We'll be looking to you guys again for that same level of support.
Definitely.
With Burger King and Wendy's. You know, we need that. We have a lot of other bargaining coming up this year, which is big as well. Sky City is coming up. Lots of stuff. So, you know, thank you to those who helped us out. And, you know,
what, those on
hopefully
social media
we'll hear from you again. so it's going to be a really... Yeah, really interesting year, and we're hoping that by bumping up those rates for the, I don't want to call them the workers at the bottom, but that's what people see them as, everyone else is just going to have to raise up, because we cannot rely on the minimum wage to go up all the time, and you can't rely on it to pay your bills.
No, you can't. Even living wage, I mean, we'll find people, especially in Auckland, if you have a rent or a mortgage, or if you live in a house...
If you're alive and you're in Auckland, well, it's probably quite expensive to be dead in Auckland as well.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole different issue. So we can go into some other time. But just overall, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to live in Auckland and the amount, you know, we pay on travel. Not that Auckland Transport is helping with that issue by increasing their prices all the time, but I think that's a topic we can talk about some other time.
It's a whole
other
show.
So we need that. We need a decent increase for workers.
Yeah.
A lot of these jobs, like the fast food jobs, the security job, the rest home, the care workers, they don't do it because it's the most glorified job. They don't do it because it's the most well-paid job. They do it because they truly love the job.
Yeah, exactly. They're actually really proud of the work that they do.
Exactly. You know, I've always thought before I realised this, I've always thought, you know, a KFC workers only stay in the job for, what, 18 months at most. And then I look at some of their employment status. They've been there for, like, 18 years.
Yep.
I mean, you don't stay in KFC... You don't work at KFC for 18 years because it's the best glorified paid job. You do it because you truly love
you
the job.
Yeah, people are actually really proud of what they do. And it's time to stop sort of making jokes about, if you don't finish school, you'll be working at KFC. Not funny. Not funny anymore, you know.
No.
Because those KFC workers, they might be earning more than you, buddy, so don't make that joke anymore.
It's not just that. I mean, I've at my old previous work site, I mean, it's also not a glorified job. We had a girl who was doing her PhDs.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
There are plenty of, you know, you don't know who these, you know, you don't know the background behind these people, so don't make that joke.
Exactly. I've had, you know, people that write medical programs for computers as part of their thesis who were cleaning hotel rooms, you know, so don't make assumptions, eh?
Yep.
These people might be curing your cancer in a few years' time.
Mm.
It's actually true. It's legit. Hopefully, we have brought you up to date with a lot of stuff that's going on with unions. People always say, unions don't do anything. What have unions done? Hey, I just updated you on a whole lot of stuff, so you can't say that anymore. But I'm sure if you're listening, you probably weren't that type of person anyway, I hope. So thank you so much for listening to us. I'm going to be going on parental leave soon, so you may not hear me for a little while, but Shirley's going to be... taking over and organising, and you'll hear from her a lot more, which is really awesome. Thank
Hopefully
you, Shirley.
Hopefully I can get some others and special guest Shannon every now and then.
Oh, look, maybe I'll come in and whinge to you about my parental leave payments or something. Eh?
Well, that might be, you know, that might be a good show to talk, you know, parental leave.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we might have that in the future. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Have an awesome rest of the week. And we're going to leave you with Ms. Oh, sorry, not Lauryn Hill. We're going to leave you with A Tribe Called Quest. And this one is called Stressed Out.